Good morning, the people of the universe, Seattle and Washington State, various regions and FEMA camp zones. Good morning to the people of quadrant 37.6. It's August the 20th, 2019. It's a day of learning at Willy Wonka's. Yeah, so it's a day of learning at Willy Wonka's today, which means that the Oompa Loompas will be working, but the Smurfs will not be working. And if you're wondering if this is abnormal or outside of the range of possibilities, you must listen to me right now. Willy Wonka's is kind of like ancient Sparta. You might have, you know, these really cool fantasies about Sparta because of that stupid fucking movie that came out in 2005 about the 300 or whatever. But here's the reality. The military society of Sparta sat on top of a giant slave society of helots, of human beings, who were treated like shit and tossed into fucking holes. That's kind of like Willy Wonka's. There is a small cadre of Smurfs, but the rest of us are basically disposable. So yeah, anyways, it's August the 20th, it's Tuesday, it's 2019. The various Gumptic folk are making their way to the city center. It's almost 4 a.m. You can hear the Gumptic folk walk their way down to 4th Avenue. They are picking up whatever Grimly they find by the wayside to make into a special kind of protein shake. Yeah, so it's early in the fucking morning, and so you know, it's hard for me to do podcasts after work some days, just like it's almost impossible to exercise. I just don't give a shit. I do when I don't. I'm a Christian. I know that the Lord in heaven wants me to keep my positive attitude. I know that God's plan rules the universe. I know this to be true. But I also know that I am not God, I don't have access to the plan, and some days I get frustrated as fuck. And does that mean I get angry at God? Well, I'll tell you what. I'll let you in a little secret. Many, many characters in the Bible, including some that are quite famous and important and well-respected, like Moses, many people in the Bible got angry with God. One could even argue, given Jesus was God made man, that even God got upset with himself sometimes. It sounds crazy, but in a way it kind of happened. People get frustrated with God. I think God understands this. I really do. It's not that I think God is okay with disrespect. It's not that I think that, you know, we shouldn't honor God. We should honor our Father in heaven. That's absolutely the case. But yeah, sometimes people get upset with God, and that's okay. You know, if some tragedy hit your family, if some really horrible shit happened to you, and you're kind of pissed off at God, I'm not saying you should stay angry, but I get it. I look around Washington State today, and just so you know, about 20 minutes ago, I had this interaction on Minds. I don't know how I feel about Minds.com. I don't want to go off on a tangent. I was on Steemit a year ago, and I was more or less run off of it. And I'm not going to tell you that I think that there's a magical social media platform. I don't believe in that bullshit. The reason why I'm on Minds is somebody in my, you know, a listener of mine recommended that I get on some social media to post my podcasts. That's fine. I might even use it as a vehicle to start doing some fiction, writing some fiction again. That's all good. That's all fine. But yeah, I was talking to someone on Minds, and we were talking about, you know, the ecosystem, and this person was talking about how much, you know, she loved the garden, and she loved nature, and she noticed that in her world, life was dying. The insects were gone. The behavior of the plants was not the behavior of things that are thriving, but of things that are collapsing. And that's where I'm at. You know, I grew up in Washington State, and I know you've heard this fucking harangue before, but I grew up in Washington State, and I can tell you, as a kid, the weather wasn't like this. The air wasn't like this. The Puget Sound wasn't a giant toilet bowl ready to turn over. I don't know for certain what's going on. I will tell you that because I'm a man of faith, because I believe in God, I think that it's a near certainty that we're in the great game. That it's begun. And I don't want to freak you out, but yeah, sorry, I'm getting a little serious here. I think the great game has begun. I don't know that if that sounds too ambiguous and scary, I apologize, but I think the great competition between good and evil is in its final act. And I think if you look around the world today, you would probably say to yourself, it looks like evil's winning. But again, that is an illusion. That is an illusion. That is not real. The strength of evil is a profound weakness. The greatest strength of evil is a weakness. There is no way for it to win. Lucifer can't win. But it doesn't mean that God, according to his plan, doesn't let Lucifer think he's winning for a while. And so the thing that sucks about the right now, if you see it this way, is that we're currently in the part of the game where Lucifer's winning, or at least it seems like it. And that's really where you have to keep your faith. I can tell you what my eyes show me. My eyes show me a natural world that is screaming. And I do not believe what's happening to it is normal. And yes, it could very well be the result of industrial activity. I really don't know. I once remarked to a friend of mine that in many ways, the discovery of hydrocarbons, the utilization of hydrocarbon energy beginning about 300 years ago with coal, and frankly earlier with coal, because it goes back a while, but the utilization of hydrocarbon energy in the last three centuries, and specifically oil, it was a great moral test. We were given tremendous power, and we could have shown wisdom, and we could have shown discretion, and we could have not thrown caution to the wind and act as if the world were a giant prostitute for us to give $100 to and to fuck. But the world is not a hooker. Nature was not meant to be fucked. I know, I'm sorry for that stark language, but, you know, my dad was a logger, and I made my peace with him a long time ago. But he was part of that old school mentality that you can more or less, you know, rape and pillage and the earth will repair itself. Folks, that's not actually true. You can't just take and take and take. It's kind of like the, I don't know if any of you have ever watched that series that was on Showtime a long time ago, you know, Penn and Teller's bullshit, which in retrospect, most of their episodes were probably bullshit. But they did one on food, and specifically they talked about Norman Borlaug and the Green Revolution and how we basically figured out how to pour oil onto the land, essentially to pour oil onto the land, and to grow more food. And it sounds really great. What they don't tell you is that we were destroying the topsoil at a non-linear rate. What our good friend Penn and Teller don't tell you is that we were raping nature to death. It's true. Norman Borlaug allowed us to add hundreds of millions of people to the planet that within months we won't be able to feed. That's a little bit of reality about all those Cato Institute articles, all those neocon fucktard articles you'll read about infinite growth. Okay, folks, it's not reality. It's not based on common sense. And frankly, that's the thing. This is why I totally get Solzhenitsyn. Like, Solzhenitsyn wasn't just critical of the former Soviet Union. And if you don't know who Solzhenitsyn was essentially a political rebel, a prisoner, a person who was attacked by the system, and he lived in Russia. And he criticized the Soviet Union, but he also criticized the United States. Now, some might argue he did that to stay alive. I would contend it's deeper than that. His basic criticism was towards runaway materialism, this idea that everything can be equated to dollars and cents and atoms and molecules, and there's nothing else. In that worldview, you end up raping the earth to death. In that worldview, you end up convincing people that uploading your consciousness into a computer is the equivalent of living in a human body. In that world, you sell people on the idea that you should go ahead and pollute the topsoil for 30 or 40 years so you can produce lots and lots of really shitty corn, so eventually you won't be able to produce any food at all. Folks, I think we're in the great game. I think we've been in it for a while. I think it started before I was born. One could contend that the great game may have been connected to this great discovery of this infinite resource called oil. But if you're not aware, the oil party is coming to an end. The fracking miracle turned out to be a financial fracking disaster. All those companies are going broke. Wake the fuck up. We are making oil in the United States, in Canada, where they're boiling tar sands. We are producing oil the way the Nazis did at the end of the war. How'd that turn out for them? That's the wake-up call I want you to get this morning, is that I don't know what's happening next. All I can tell you is what my eyes tell me, and that is that nature is screaming. Now, full disclosure, for many, many years, I was one of these people that believed a lot of the anti-climate change bullshit, and I believed a lot of the libertarian crap about how we can grow ourselves to a better ecosystem. But that is total bullshit. And then I used to believe this post-techno crap that somehow technology will allow us to live in a dead world. And that's total bullshit. Even if we could live in bunkers underneath the earth, even if we could live in bunkers and survive, given that we toxified the surface and we've made the air unbreathable and we've killed all life, even if humans could survive in that world, I don't think we have a right to. I don't think we earned it. We think we did if you follow Darwin's chart of success. The problem with Darwin's chart of success, it is literally a global tontine club. It is literally winner takes all, which means last survivor takes all. So if you're a Darwin natural selection, there ain't no God, and you might as well accept your material body, and everything's determinism, and no one's responsible, so everyone can be fucktards until we die. If you're one of those people, fine. I don't give a fuck. But you're literally a member of a global tontine club, if you believe that shit. So you can mock Dr. Freckles' global tontine club all you want to, but if you're one of these stupid fucks who thinks it's all about winner-takes-all evolution, then you're one of the reasons why the earth is screaming right now. Also, folks, government's no fix. I know that some of you are listening and think, oh, well, then Dan's becoming a Democrat. No. The Democrats are just as fucked as the Republicans. I don't know. I give this speech every fucking podcast. I don't think any of you will wake up until it's too late. And by then, it's literally too late. Okay? I don't think there is any government solution. I will tell you this definitively, and you need to fucking listen. The reason why we're in this fucking ecosystem disaster, this economic disaster, this human disaster, the reason why we're here is because of fucking government. Because we didn't trust ourselves. Because we believed that we needed to give power and give resources to a magical fucking crocodile called government. And yeah, some of you get buckets of gold. I get that. Some of you get your buckets of gold, and you're quite happy with that. Anyways, technically I'm in the first topic, but last night, and just a bit of a segue, I'm adding new videos to my Minds feed, but I'm not doing it at a very fast rate for the same reason I mentioned earlier. I don't know what Minds is yet. I hope it's an honest social media platform. It could very well be a monkey fuck just like Steemit, just like Twitter, just like all the rest. I do not know. I know that it's not perfect. That's not what bothers me. I'm not one of these bitchers and moaners who goes on the help thread and tells you that all the buttons don't work. I'm a fucking software engineer. It's not easy making this shit work, dumbasses. That's not my main issue. My main issue is censorship. So my assumption as of right now is Minds is a platform that seeks to promote free speech. I honestly, truly do not know if that's true yet. But if it is true, I'll post more videos. Last night, I posted a couple videos, I think, of some weird-ass cloud formations. One of them literally looked like a geoengineering spray that was grabbed by some giant hand and stretched out across the sky. Like, it was taffy being pulled. It was really fucked. I could not believe it. It was so weird. And again, I think it, very well the giant hand could have been electromagnetic force. It very well could have been ground-based radars and microwave emitters and atmospheric heaters. I really don't know. It could very well be part of geoengineering. What I saw last night was not normal, is my point, though. It wasn't natural. It didn't look like a healthy sky. It looked like a sky that was screaming. And then a plane flew by, and I took video of this. It was so gross. I don't care what you believe. The only explanation I've come up with, other than Dane Wigington's explanation, is Guy McPherson basically says, well, that's because the atmosphere is filling with water. That's because the atmospheric water content's increasing. Folks, if that's true, we are truly royally fucked. If the reason why we're seeing these trails is because the atmosphere is filling with water, folks, water takes a while to warm. Guess what? It takes a long-ass time to fucking cool, which means it's great at retaining heat. If the atmosphere is filling with water vapor, then that means global warming is about to be amped up. And you add that to the methane in the Arctic Circle, and that means you're royally fucked. So which do you want to believe? Guy McPherson's explanation that the atmospheric water content is increasing in a nonlinear way? Because fuck, it looked fucked last night, dude. Or Dane Wigington, they're putting shit into the atmosphere. And that's what I'm seeing. Either explanation is still really shitty. Either explanation still points to a human race that is strangling the Earth. That is strangling nature. That is strangling this marvelous, beautiful, to quote Immanuel Kant, sublime gift from God. The great game is going on, folks. What I saw in the sky last night, these were not supernatural events, okay? These were physical events that if you put down your ironically named device, you could see with your own fucking eyes. But again, it's so easy just to stare at your fucking phone, isn't it? Better stare at your phone. Don't look at the homeless people. Don't look at the fucking ecosystem crashing. Don't look at the fact that there aren't any fucking good insects. Sure, there's still the nasty insects, the nasty flies. I'm going to let you on a little secret, folks. As the ecosystems collapse, the last creatures to leave will be the most disgusting. Oh, and that includes us. Yeah. So the roaches and the humans and the mosquitoes and the rats... Yeah, these will be the ones who hold on right to the brutal, bitter end. So guess what? The company we'll have at the end will be the creatures we deserve to hold court with. We're not going to be having conversations with the monkeys. They'll be dead already. We won't be sitting around gorillas in the mist. Nope, they'll already have died of cancer. The creatures we'll get to sit around with at the end will be the creatures of the darkness of the hole. They'll be the worst of us and the worst of it. That's the bottom line. I'm not saying rats are terrible and roaches are terrible and flies that bite and mosquitoes that bite are terrible. But my point is, it won't be the nice fluffy creatures that hang out with us at the end. The douchebags are the last to leave the party. Anyways, next topic, right? So yesterday at Willy Wonka's, I was holding a meeting. I can't talk about it because it's top secret, you must understand. Willy Wonka's has a policy of great secrecy. You must understand. The secret policies of Willy Wonka's cannot be revealed. Yeah, so anyways, yesterday I was facilitating a meeting that had to do with a security issue, and one of the key participants that I didn't really had never met before showed up, and he goes into the room and he immediately says things like, "Why are we here? What are we talking about? What's your problem? What do we need to do?" And the thing is, I kind of get it. Like, when I was in the Army, I knew sergeants like this who, and I actually kind of appreciated it. You know, they would cut to the chase. They would get down to brass tacks. I remember telling people at the meeting yesterday, you know, this whole thing should take 10 minutes. And this dude shows up. He immediately hijacks the meeting. And arguably, he does an okay of hijacking it. As hijackers go, he didn't pull out the box cutters and start shredding people. He actually kind of kept us on topic. So I will say, in fairness to the I don't want to say asshole, to the jerk who came in and started barking at me, at least he ran the fucking meeting in a non-terrible way. But the point is this, it was my fucking meeting and he took it over. And that's the thing about Willy Wonka's is filled with people who think they own the world. Willy Wonka's is filled with the Glumbus folk, the Gronkus kings, the various underlords of Quimulac. Yeah, anyways. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this subject, but I think it's kind of fucked. If you're running a meeting and some dude comes in and starts a meal, "What are we doing? Why are we here?" I actually remember saying to the guy yesterday, "Are you pissed off at me?" Because he seemed pissed. And then one other dude, a project manager, said, no, that's just the way he is. And I said, you know, I keep forgetting I'm at Willy Wonka's. You know, and again, folks, when I say Willy Wonka's, it's not the actual name of the company. If you're reasonably intelligent and you've listened to my podcast, you probably already figured out where I'm working as a contractor these days. But yeah, for Willy Wonka's on the spectrum and kind of sociopathic software factory, his behavior was 100% typical. It's just yesterday I was trying to be optimistic and shit. Yeah, it was Monday. Yeah, Monday's a craptard. Yes, nature's collapsing around me. It seems like all the grumpus folk in Little Saigon are about to, you know, become cannibals. All this is true. But I was trying to be optimistic yesterday. Fuck. Next fucking topic, right? Next topic. We talked about the monstrous clouds and nature screaming. Next topic is a good one. So anyways, I've discussed the denial, anger, bargaining bullshit before. So you know, there's this researcher. I don't know. I think it's Elizabeth Kubler-Ross or something. But there's a Dr. Kubler-Ross. And I don't know if she is still alive. I think it's a she. But Kubler-Ross developed a kind of description of the grieving process, and these were the stages. The first stage is denial. That's when you say, it cannot possibly be happening, it's bullshit, you're full of shit. The next stage is anger. It's like, how could this be happening to me? Why are you doing this to me? After anger comes bargaining. And bargaining is where you say, listen, I'll do this and I'll do that and I'll do this other thing if you tell me that all this horrible shit that's happening isn't really happening or you fix it for me. After bargaining fails comes depression. And depression's hard. As someone who suffers from episodic and acute depression, yeah, I don't have my big episodes that often, but when they hit, it's like a freight train of nihilistic darkness and Kierkegaard on benzos. I mean, it's really bad. You know, it's like, imagine a darker Kierkegaard. A darker guard. Kierkegaard was dark enough, but imagine a darker Kierkegaard in a darker Denmark. Holy fuck. Denmark is ugly and evil and dark enough, but imagine it. Anyways, when my depression hits, it's like I live in the worst Denmark, in the worst possible timeline, and I just hang out and drink with Kierkegaard all day. Yeah. So I get it. So depression. And then finally, if you make it through depression, you get to acceptance. That is the Kubler-Ross. Those are the stages of grieving. Most of the people I run into these days, especially at Willy Wonka's, most of the people at Willy Wonka's are stuck on denial, anger, bargaining. Denial, anger, bargaining. It's like a turning circle. They get stuck on it. There's no way off. They don't want to get depressed. God forbid. They look up from their fucking smart device and realize maybe everything isn't fucking okay. Anyways, last week when there was a little bit of, you know, kerfuffle in the markets, I was walking to lunch at one of the many boutique cafes at Willy Wonka's with coworkers, and I overheard people walking behind us talking about the markets and their Microsoft stocks. So it was clearly Smurfs who are actual permanent employees at Willy Wonka's talking about their Smurf stock and their Smurf situation. And it was funny because they were going through all the processes of rationalization. You know, yeah, my investment guy says this is a blip and there's going to be all kinds of, you know, loosening and the Trump guy and the trade war, blah, blah, blah. And then yesterday on the bus, I overheard a lady talking about the orcas in the Puget Sound. And she said, you know, so you read that article. Oh, good. They're just migrating. They're just migrating. Well, another word is fleeing. But yeah, they're migrating. A lot of creatures are migrating right now. There are a lot of creatures from North Africa, and I shouldn't say it that way because people will think I'm racist. But I'm not. I'm trying to refer to human beings as also animals. But there are a lot of human beings migrating right now too. I'll let you in a little secret. When you have mass migrations of major populations or pinnacle predators that flee an area, that's because that place is becoming a fucking death zone. A death zone, okay? Orcas are a pinnacle predator. If you're reading some article that's helping you rationalize the orcas either dying or going away in the Puget Sound, and it says, well, they're just migrating to special new territories. They're just going to the Kasbah. You remember Hitler? Hitler back in 42 or 43 would spread rumors to the Germans. We're just sending the Jews to Madagascar. The Jews are just being sent to Madagascar. But actually, they were being killed. So I'm letting in a little secret. The orcas are not going to Madagascar with the magical Jews of 1942. They're dying. And if they're still alive, they're fleeing. And where are they fleeing to? Someplace they can fucking stay alive. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like people aren't understanding this. So yeah, I listen to these conversations, folks. I hear what you're talking about. Unlike you, I don't stick little metal cancer objects in my ears to give myself brain cancer in 10 years. I actually listen to the world and I see the world. And yeah, I have a flip phone. And I'm still being irradiated, but at least not as much. Although, frankly speaking, because I have to sit with you fucks on that fucking bus, I'm being irradiated by your shit. Put your fucking smart device down and look the fuck around. Do you know what time it is? Because the great game's happening, folks. The great game is afoot, as Sherlock Holmes would say. Next topic is a good one, I think. The title of this topic was originally... Okay, so I was watching season 2 of Mindhunter, and I don't know. I told you guys I don't love Netflix. I feel like it's a propaganda vehicle for globalists, but since I'm not technically paying for it right now, I kind of watch a few shows off of it. I'm one of those people who's working off someone else's subscription, and I don't give a fuck. Because it's a lot of globalist fucking free money fueled propaganda, they're already a bunch of fucking crooks. So yeah, I behave like a crook to the crooks. I don't give a fuck. Anyways, I was watching season two of Mindhunter, and I was thinking about the world. And this thought occurred to me. And it's a really fucked up thought when you think about it. But actually, it's even worse if you think about it too long. I was watching this and I thought to myself, what if, hypothetically, what if Ted Bundy ran the world? Like, imagine Ted Bundy as the ruler of the world. Now, I know you're saying, Dan, that's absurd, that's crazy. What if Ted Bundy ran the world? Now, if you don't know, Ted Bundy was a serial killer. He actually, I don't know if he grew up in Washington State, but he spent time here. I think he may have grown up here. And he was active as a killer in the 70s. So, and he killed a lot of, like, you know, female co-eds, you know, college students. He was a real lady killer, fucktard piece of shit. Anyways, what if Ted Bundy ran the world was the question that occurred to me. And then I realized how stupid that fucking question was. It's a stupid fucking question. What if Ted Bundy ran the world? It's like asking, what if, I don't know, Jim Jones ran the world? Or, I mean, I can keep going. I think there are intelligent people who've read a history book listening to me right now who realize how foolish this whole thing is. I'll let you know a little secret, folks. If Ted Bundy ran the world, it would probably look even a little better than the way it looks today. But it would basically, yeah, it would be the shithole we're in. Which is, you have a world run by essentially serial killers. If you want to understand your reality, if you want to figure your shit out, we live in a Jim Jones, Charlie Manson, Ted Bundy world. That is the world we live in. That is the world you live in right now. I'm not saying it's everything, but it's the human world. And so if you say to me, Dan, what if Ted Bundy ran the world? I would say, what if, you know, Jesus Christ ran the world, the human world? What if instead of Ted Bundy, Christ was actually in charge down here? Yeah, so if Christ was down here, I think it would be a much better shape, but that's not how things work. Folks, Ted Bundy, in that figurative sense, runs the world right now. That's the kind of world we live in. We live in a world of sociopaths who don't give a fuck about anything other than their own crooked fetish agenda. And I don't even know what it is. I'm just like you. I'm some schmuck who tries to glean from all the lies I'm told every day a little bit of truth about what's going on. But like I said, open your eyes. Look around. Sense what's going on. If you want to get ready for your day, if you want to realize which direction you should be headed in, you need to orient yourself. And I'm sorry, your smart device is not going to help you with this. You need to put that down. I'm not telling you you have to grab a Bible and start reading it, but you need to fucking get your shit together. If you think they're telling you the truth about what's going on, if you think the Ted Bundys and the Jim Joneses and the fucking Charlie Mansons that run the fucking world right now are telling you the truth, you are a fool. God created the universe. But Lucifer pretends like he runs the human world. And right now, that particular LARPing, that pretend game, it's hardcore. Anyways, next topic. I'm trying to look for the next topic here. And oh yeah, this is a good one to end on, actually. Next topic. So, how can I begin this next topic? I'm gonna sip some cold, slightly cold coffee. And this might very well be the last topic. It might not be, but it's the next topic. So you all know or should know, especially if you're getting to this link from my Minds account, that I am a radical supporter of free speech. I'm also a Christian, I'm also an anarchist, but yeah, when it comes to free speech, I'm a radical supporter, and I'll tell you why. Because I think as long as we are communicating, even if sometimes we say things that hurt each other, we are still doing better than violence. I don't care how hurt your feelings are. It is way worse to see your family destroyed by a bomb. If you don't understand that, if you don't realize that the reason why we should communicate is to avoid violence, then I feel like you need to go back to kindergarten. So I'm a radical supporter of free speech. But I constantly hear, when it comes to speech codes and the Canadians figuring out which pronouns we should use, in the future, I will be known as Craptopolis 93.6. In fact, everything that I work with in my life, my own self, and you will be Craptopolis 93.6. You won't say, "How are you feeling?" You'll say, "How is Craptopolis 93.6 feeling?" And I'll say, "I'm feeling great, you fuck." Excuse me, "I'm feeling great, Craptopolis 93.6. Fuck." You won't say he or she is making dinner. You'll say Craptopolis 93.6 is making dinner. Yeah, so anyways, there's a lot of speech codes and censorship, and all of it's about tolerance. Well, I'll tell you what, folks, I'm going to give a little bit of a history lesson about the history of tolerance, the Enlightenment, and civilization. Up until recently, and when I say recently, I'll say the last 50 to 60 years of American intellectual history. But up until recently, and for several hundred years since the beginning of the Enlightenment, arguably since the Renaissance, the concept of tolerance meant the following, and this is really important. People should put on their thinking caps. Up until recently, the concept of tolerance meant this. It meant tolerating things you don't agree with. I'm going to repeat this. It means tolerating shit that you don't like because you would prefer to tolerate it than to live in violence and fear. One thing to understand about the Enlightenment is some people technically set its beginning point at the end of the last religious war, and that would be the 30 Years' War, which ended in 1648. And when I say the last religious war, that's not entirely true. I should say the last major Christian religious war. That was the Peace of Westphalia that ended the 30 Years' War was one of the first peace conferences where guess who was not invited? The fucking Pope. The Pope was told to stay the fuck home. I wonder why. Anyways, after that last major religious war, the general concept was this: if you tolerate people, you're willing to accept that they're different within reason. I'm not asking you to tolerate pedophilia because that's evil. I'm not asking you to tolerate murder because that's evil. I'm not asking you to tolerate child abuse or abuse or frankly any kind of bullying. Okay, because that's evil. I believe that. I don't think those are things that you ought to tolerate. I'll be blunt. You shouldn't tolerate rape and murder and thievery, okay? Even if you're a fucking atheist, you really shouldn't tolerate these things. But you should be willing to tolerate speech because that's a way to avoid a lot of the nasty shit I just listed. people sometimes simply want to be heard. And if you listen to them, they might avoid the path of violence. They might avoid the path of becoming the bully. And it doesn't mean you have to agree with them. Actually, one of the best ways to defuse some fucktard like a Hitler or a Jim Jones or a Charlie Manson is let them speak. The more an idiot speaks, the more it is known that they are an idiot. The very moment you begin the process of clamping down on their speech, you're basically legitimating their speech. You're basically saying that everything they say is true. Tolerance is not telling people that certain words are off limits. Tolerance is literally the opposite of that. That no words are off limits. That even means that people are going to write books that you won't like. And they're going to talk about ideas in their books or on their podcasts or on their fucking blogs or on Twitter or Minds. They will say things that will bother you. And you are not obligated to listen. That is also the fucking point. The other side of tolerance is that you are not obligated to accept or to endorse or to validate. That is also true. Just because you tolerate bullshit doesn't mean you have to say it's okay. And this is where the fucking shit twists on us. Because this is where the whole, and I'm gonna pinpoint one social justice issue, but that's this whole gender fucking bullshit. I can tolerate the fuck out of everybody because I'm a weirdo. And weirdos should tolerate everyone. But do you know what I don't like? I don't like it when people tell me that I have to literally state that I accept who they are. No, I'll tolerate your bullshit. I will tolerate you, and I will tolerate you up to a point. Up to the point that you violate my freedom. Just as you should tolerate me. Up to a point. Up to the point that I violate your freedom. Wow, it's not very complicated, is it? Tolerance is not validation. Tolerance is not certification. Tolerance is not approval. As a Christian, I can tolerate a lot of the fucking weirdness around the LGBTQXYZ community. I can tolerate it because a lot of it looks like nonsense to me. Philosophies of people's junk given to them by George Soros. Their movement isn't even their fucking movement. They don't even own their own fucking ideology. And yet they act as if they do. I don't give a fuck. It's your business. If two consenting adults, or three or four, or whatever number, as long as they're adults, as long as they're consenting, want to do shit with their sexual junk in their fucking privacy, and I don't have to watch, or I'm not forced to watch, or more importantly, if I had kids, they're not forced to read a book about it when they're fucking 8 years old. As long as that's true, I don't give a fuck what you do. But once you start shoving your bullshit degenerate lifestyle down the throats of other people, that's when you're not tolerating. That's when you are literally being intolerant. That is when you're literally not willing to accept the fact that, guess what? Not everyone's going to like you. Oh, crap. You said it again, Dan. You said it in a previous podcast. Not everyone's going to like you. There will be people you meet in this life, and they won't like you. They might even hate you. Right, they might even hate you. But as long as they're not physically harming you, as long as you can walk away from them, as long as you can ignore them, in every sense that that word means, why do you give a fuck? Lots of people will not like you. Some people will. Lots of people will not be your friend, but you will make some friends. The human race is big. It's a big race, and people bump into each other, and those collisions are not always friendly. If you want to claim tolerance as a value, as a virtue for your movement, research the fucking word. Research it not simply in terms of its definition. Research the history of political tolerance. I'll let you on a little secret. It's literally the opposite of what the Southern Poverty Law Center would say. It's literally the opposite of what the ADL would say. It is literally the opposite of what all these fucking neocon, globalist, sideways communist fucktards would tell you. Social justice warrior bullshit will tell you. It's not what they say. Tolerance is the willingness to accept people and beliefs that you do not agree with, as long as others are willing to do the same. I feel like I need to switch topics now, but it's also getting long in the tooth on the podcast. I don't know. I have this quote from Dr. Freckles, and maybe I'll leave this podcast with this quote and we can meditate on it. And again, Dr. Freckles is a made-up character, right? He doesn't exist, right? If he did, I'd have schizophrenia, right? So, here's the quote. As a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool desires a king. So that's the thing. I often talk about 1 Samuel chapter 8. And I know the Bible's big, it's big, but if you're an anarchist or a libertarian or a fucking statist who's a little confused and you're a Christian, read 1 Samuel chapter 8, because that's a good example of where the chosen people could have gone right or left, and instead of choosing the correct path, they chose evil. And again, that's a common story in the Old Testament. It's often referred to as the cycle of apostasy. But the story of the Hebrews being helped out by God, and then 5 minutes later in God's time, basically saying, fuck you, God, that is a common fucking history, okay? So yeah, Dr. Freckles' quote, as a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool desires a king. I have to say, folks, I encountered this a lot. You know, it's like this musical idea I've had for a couple years now. Crap, it's so early. It's not even 5 yet. I have this weird idea for a musical called Marauds, M-U-H Rhodes, with a big exclamation mark, maybe even 3. And the basic premise, and subtitle is The Story of the Magical Crocodile. The basic premise is that it's a musical about people sitting around saying, well, why won't somebody start building roads? And, well, we need a road committee. And believe me, it goes worse from there, okay? But yeah, I will be around people all the time. I'll be listening to their shit. It's like I'll watch a YouTube video and people will say the government has to do this. They have to fix this. The government has to fix this fracking problem. The government has to fix this issue with the salmon. The government has to fix this problem with crime or the guns. Folks, the government created all those fucking problems for you. If you're complaining about any of that shit, in all likelihood, some crocodile in some culture, some nation, meaning some government official, had something to do with it. I'm not saying that government does it all. You know, there'll always be evil people, but, you know, the government's a great springboard for evil people. It's a great vehicle. It's a great tool for evil people. Evil people love the fucking government because it's a giant sledgehammer, and they love to smash shit. Anyways, I should end this fucking podcast because it's long in the tooth. But how should I end it? How should I end this podcast? Yeah, so I'm going to end this podcast and tell you all that, yes, in all seriousness, I think we're in a very dread time right now. And sometimes, you know, I'm not perfect. None of us is perfect. I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. And I try to do better as a Christian, and I try to keep my hope and my faith, but I'm not going to deceive you. I come home at night from working at Willy Wonka's and I just want to grab a 6-pack of beer and turn on my vaporizer and listen to music and forget. I want to forget what I saw. I want to forget what I heard. I want to forget what my brain is telling me, what my soul is screaming at me, and frankly, what the sky and nature is yelling at me. There's something wrong, Dan. That's the chant. And perhaps, maybe this is the reason why I'm such a dark person, because maybe I heard that fucking echo through time when I was a kid. The faintest of echoes, there is something wrong. I may not know what the right answer is, but this arrangement, this situation, this murdering of nature that we're doing is wrong. Have a great Tuesday.